We begin Seder Noshim. The first and longest Masechta in the Seder is called Yevamos. There are 16 Prokim in Yevamos, and the subject matter of the Masechta is the mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah says that if a man marries a woman and then dies without having any children, there is a mitzvah upon the brother of the dead man to marry the dead man's wife, the widow. Now this is a very unique mitzvah, because in general it is forbidden, under a very severe prohibition, to marry the wife of one's brother. There are 21 arayas in the Torah. Arayas is the plural of erva, which refers to a woman who one is forbidden to marry because they are related to each other. So one of the 21 arayas in the Torah is one's brother's wife, and in general it is forbidden to marry her, and the punishment for doing so is kores, where one is, so to speak, cut off from Hashem, a very severe punishment. However, the mitzvah of Yibum says that if one's brother died without having children, then not only is it not prohibited to marry her, but it is a mitzvah to do so. By marrying one's brother's wife after he died without children, that allows the brother's name to continue. The children are in some way considered to be the children of the man who had died. And it's important to realize that since in general it's forbidden to marry one's brother's wife, in a case where there is no mitzvah to do so, it is indeed forbidden to do so. For example, if one's brother's wife is also his daughter, his brother was allowed to marry her, it is permitted to marry one's niece. So let's say, for example, you've got two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and Shimon marries Reuven's daughter, and then Shimon dies without having any children. So although the mitzvah of Yibum allows one, and in fact instructs one, to violate the general prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife, if there is another erva involved, that not only is this woman Reuven's brother's wife, but it's also Reuven's daughter, so that erva, that prohibited relationship, is not permitted by the mitzvah of Yibum. And the first mishnah of our Masechta is going to list 15 out of the 21 arayas, that if Reuven's brother's wife is one of those 15, then he is exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, although the mishnah is going to use the word potter, exempt, the truth is it's actually forbidden. And throughout the Masechta, whenever the Mishnah will say that one is potter, he is exempt from Yibum, it is also forbidden to do Yibum, since by doing Yibum he would violate the Erva, which is forbidden. And not only that, once there's no mitzvah to do Yibum, he would also violate the prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife, because that's always forbidden, even once one's brother has died, unless there's a mitzvah of Yibum. So in a case where the brother's wife is also his daughter, and so the mitzvah of Yibum does not apply, so the prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife returns. Now, before beginning the Masechta, a few key concepts which run through the entire Masechta need to be introduced. We're constantly going to be using the example of Reuven and Shimon being brothers, or if they are more brothers than Reuven, Shimon, Levi. And in our examples, we're going to use Shimon as the person who dies. Shimon is the brother who dies, and Reuven is the one who needs to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. So Reuven is known as the Yovam. He's the one who performs Yibum. And Shimon's wife, with whom Reuven is performing Yibum, she is known either as the Yevama, or at other points in the Masechta, she's known as the Shemeres Yovam, which literally means she is awaiting the Yovam. So generally, until she's performed Yibum, she is known as the Shemeres Yovam. And when she performs Yibum, then she is known as the Yevama. Now, up until now, we've been discussing the mitzvah of Yibum, but what happens if, for example, Reuven, the Yovam, does not want to perform Yibum on the Yevama, on the Shemeres Yovam? The Torah says that the Yovam and Yevama can go to Beis Din and perform a procedure known as Chalitza. We'll discuss that later on in the Masechta. The 12th Perek discusses the procedure itself, where she takes off his shoe and spits on the ground, as we will see later on. And if he does chalitza, then he frees her of the obligation to receive yibum from the brother, and then she is permitted to marry anybody else she wants. Until she receives chalitza or yibum, whilst she is still a shemeres yovam, she is awaiting yibum or chalitza, she is forbidden to marry anybody else. And the reason for this is because although they are not yet married, the brother, the Reuven, and the Shemeres Yovam, they nevertheless do have a halachic connection to each other. That connection is known as a zika, and made a raisa, that's a very weak connection. We're going to see certain ramifications during the Masechta. Midrabbonon, for certain things, it's considered like real marriage. Be as it may, since the Yovam and the Shemeres Yovam have a zika between them, she is forbidden to marry anybody else until she receives chalitza. And so if you think about it, chalitza is very similar to a get. just like a woman, as long as she is married to a man, she is forbidden to marry anybody else until she receives a get, and the get then allows her to marry anybody else, so too chalitza. Now, it is learnt from Pesukim the following rule. Kol she'ein oyle le'yibum, ein oyle le'chalitza. Any woman who does not go up for the mitzvah of Yibum, meaning the mitzvah of Yibum does not apply, for example, in a case where Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter, then ein oyle le'chalitza, she also does not require chalitza. And she would be permitted to marry somebody else even without receiving any Yibum or chalitza from her husband's brother. Now we're going to see later on in the Masechta that this rule does not always apply, but if it is a very severe prohibition, for example, if Shimon's wife is an erva of Reuven, it's a woman who is related to Reuven and therefore forbidden, so then the rule does apply and there won't be Yibum or Chalitza. It should be noted that the obligation of Yibum or Chalitza depends on whether they had children when the husband died. Which means that if, for example, Shimon did have a child, but then that child died, and then Shimon died, since at the time of his death he did not have any children, the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza would apply. The focus of the first few Mishnayos of the Masechta talks about Tzoros. Tzoros are co-wives. So for example, let's say Shimon was married to Dina and Chana. The Dina is Chana's Tzora, and Chana is Dina's Tzora. And it is learned from Pesukim that if one of Shimon's wives, let's say Dina, is an erva to Reuven, for example, it's Reuven's daughter. So when Shimon dies, the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza do not apply between Reuven and Dina. So assuming Reuven would be the only brother of Shimon, Dina would be able to marry somebody else without receiving any Yibum or Chalitza. It is learned from Pesukim that the same applies to all of the other wives of Shimon. Dina's tzora, Chana, even though she is not an erva to Reuven, she would also be totally exempt from Yibum and Chalitza, and she'd be able to marry somebody else, because the mitzvah of Yibum would not apply to her either. And again, once we say that the mitzvah of Yibum does not apply, and she's exempt, that doesn't mean that if she wants to, she can still do Yibum with Reuven. Because once there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so the prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife returns. And so technically, she actually also becomes an erva. If you think about it, once the Torah said that if one of the wives of Shimon is an erva, then all of the wives are exempt from Yibum and Chalitza, so it emerges that actually the prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife returns, and so all of the wives are now considered to be an erva to Reuven. It follows, therefore, that since the Tzoras erva, the co-wife of the relation of Reuven, she is also considered to be an erva. And because of that, let's imagine you've got a case where Shimon died and he has two brothers, Reuven and Levi. And one of Shimon's wives is related to Reuven, which means that Reuven cannot do Yibum or Chalitza with any of Shimon's wives. However, there's still another brother, and that brother is not related to any of Shimon's wives, and therefore that brother could do Yibum or Chalitza with any of the wives. So let's say Levi chose to do Yibum with the Tzora of Reuven's Erva. You can already look at the first diagram of the Mishnah. There are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Shimon is married to Chana and Dina. Dina is Reuven's daughter. And when Shimon dies, Levi marries Chana. Does Yibum on Chana. Chana is Reuven's Tzoras Erva. Alright, and Levi also has another wife called Miriam. Now what happens if Levi then dies without having any children? So Reuven once again needs to do Yibum on one of Levi's wives. One never needs to do Yibum or Chalitza on more than one of the wives, once one of them has received it, so all of the women are free. And if you think about it, this time, none of Levi's wives are related to Reuven. None of the wives are an erva to Reuven. So I would have thought that Reuven should need to do Yibum or Chalitza just as a regular case. However, since Chana was once the Tzoras erva of Reuven, and when Shimon died, Reuven was therefore forbidden to do Yibum or Chalitza on Chana, on the Tzoras erva, and because he was exempt, the prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife returned, and Chana also became an erva to Reuven. There is a rule of Hil v'nesra olav shor achas, nesra olav elomis. If a woman becomes forbidden for Yibum on Reuven once, then she remains forbidden forever. So since when Shimon died, Reuven was forbidden to perform Yibum with his Tzoras Erva, and therefore she became an Erva. She remains an Erva towards Reuven forever, such that when Levi then marries Reuven's Erva now, and then Levi dies, Reuven would still not be able to perform Yibum with Chana. And since we're treating her like a real Erva now, of a brother's wife, so also the other wife of Levi, in our case Miriam, she would also be exempt from Yibum and Chalitza from Reuven. And so if you think about it, Miriam would also become an Erva to Reuven. And if, let's say, there was another brother, Yehuda, and Yehuda did Yibum on Miriam, who is the Tzara of the Tzara of Reuven's daughter, all of the wives of Yehuda would also be exempt when Yehuda dies, because as we explained, every Tzara's Erva becomes an Erva of a brother's wife. This sounds very complicated, but as we're going to see, the Mishnah will bring 15 examples of what we just described, and with the help of the diagrams, which you can receive by email, WhatsApp, or on our website, timefortorah.org, by the end of the Mishnah, this should become very clear. Begins the Masechta, Chamesha Seinoshim, there are 15 women, 15 Arayas, relatives of the Yovam, who the Yovam is forbidden to marry, and because it's forbidden for the Yovam to marry her, one of these 15 women, Poitros Tzoriseyen, they would make their co-wives exempt. So as we explained, not only is Dina exempt from Yibum Chalitza, but also all of Shimon's other wives, for example, Chana in our case, she would also be exempt from Yibum Chalitza. Vitzoris Tzoriseyen, and also the co-wife of Dina's co-wife, so in our case, Miriam, she would also end up being exempt, even though that's in a new marriage, to Levi and Reuven's Erva Dina, was never married to Levi. Nevertheless, even the co-wife of the Erva's co-wife, the Tzoras Erva, she would also be exempt, as we explained, and we will show via the next 15 diagrams. And as we said, there is a rule, Kol she'ena oyla l'yibum, ena oyla l'chalitza. A woman who is totally exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, such as in our case, she is also exempt from Chalitza, and therefore the Mishnah says, min Chalitza min Yibum, all of these women would be exempt from both Chalitza and Yibum, I'd say for Olam until the end of the world, meaning even if there are loads and loads of brothers of Reuven, and the other brothers end up marrying the Tzara of his Erva, and the Tzara of the Tzara of the Erva, and so on, they would all be exempt, because as we explained, every Tzara's Erva becomes an Erva as well. The Elohein, says the Mishnah, these are those 15 Arayas, which would become exempt and exempt their co-wives from Yibum and Chalitza. Bittai, his daughter. So that's the case he already explained. Uvas Bittai, his daughter's daughter. Meaning, if Shimon was married to Reuven's granddaughter, as you can see in the diagram, so when Shimon dies, Dina would be exempt, and also Chana, because she's the Tzara of Reuven's Erva. And in a case where there's another brother, for example, Levi, so none of the women are an Erva towards him, he would be able to do Yibum Chalitza on any of them, and he chose to do Yibum on Chana, who is Reuven's Tzoras Erva. So if Levi then dies, and so his wives should fall to Reuven for him to do Yibum Chalitza. However, Reuven is exempt, and all of the women are exempt, because Chana is Reuven's Tzoras Erva. And Miriam is Reuven's Tzoras Erva, which, as we explained, basically means that she's the Erva as well. Next diagram, Uvas Benoi. If Dina, who in these examples, Dina is always the Erva, if Dina was Reuven's son's daughter and Shimon married her, so you'd have the same pattern. None of them could do Yibum Chalitza with Reuven, but Levi can. Levi chose to do Yibum and marry Chana, who is the Tzoras Erva of Reuven. And when Levi died, all of the women are exempt from Yibum Chalitza, even though Reuven's granddaughter was not married to Levi at all. Since Reuven's granddaughter's Tzora was married to Levi, that is enough to make all of the women exempt. Next example, if Shimon's wife is Bas Ishtai, the daughter of Reuven's wife. So it's not Reuven's daughter, it's Reuven's wife's daughter. So the diagram shows that let's say you had Moshe married Tzora, and they had a daughter called Dina. And then Moshe died, and then Reuven married Tzora. So Reuven's wife had a daughter, Dina, from a previous marriage. It is forbidden for Reuven to marry his wife's daughter. She's considered the Erva, and therefore when Shimon dies, since Reuven cannot marry Dina, she can't do Yibum or Chalitza with Reuven, so too her Tzora can't. And again, if Levi goes ahead and does Yibum with Dina's Tzora, Chana, and then Levi dies, Reuven will be forbidden to do Yibum, even with Miriam. And again, Kol she'ein oyla l'yibum, ein oyla l'chalitza. Since it's forbidden to do Yibum, she is also exempt from Chalitza, and she can marry somebody else, even without receiving Yibum or Chalitza from Reuven. Next case, exactly the same case. However, Shimon did not marry Reuven's wife's daughter, but Shimon married Reuven's wife's granddaughter. It is also an Erev of a Ruvain, and so the same would apply whether it be Uvas Bena, Ruvain's wife's son's daughter, Uvas Bita, or Ruvain's wife's daughter's daughter, the same would apply. Next, Chamosai, if Shimon was married to Ruvain's mother-in-law. So the diagram shows Avram got married to Sarah, and they had a child called Rivka, and Ruvain married that child. Ruvain married Rivka, which means that Ruvain's mother-in-law is Sarah. Then Avraham, Sarah's husband, died, and Shimon married Sarah. Shimon married Ruvain's mother-in-law. So when Shimon dies, Ruvain cannot do Yibum and is therefore exempt even from Chalitza with Sarah. And the same would go for the co-wife, for the Tzara Chana. And again, if Levi marries the Tzara, the same would apply, as we have explained in the previous cases. Next, a very similar case, Eim Chamosai. If Shimon married Ruvain's mother-in-law's mother, which just means exactly the same as the previous case, just that Ruvain did not marry Avram and Sarah's daughter, but he married Avram and Sarah's granddaughter. So Ruvain's wife's grandmother, who is the same person as Ruvain's mother-in-law's mother, she is the Erevah in this case, and so if Shimon married her, then Ruvain would be exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. And the same would apply for Ve'im Chomiv. If Shimon married Ruvain's father-in-law's mother, which if you look at the diagram, it's pretty much exactly the same case, with a small difference. Avram and Sarah had a son, not a daughter. And again, the same would apply. Next case, Achosu Me'imai, one's sister on his mother's side. And before we explain this case, an important piece of information for the Masechta should be noted, that the mitzvah of Yibum only applies if Shimon is Ruvain's brother on his father's side. And of course, all the more so if it's the father and mother's side. But if they are only brothers on their mother's side, then the mitzvah of Yibum does not apply. Now, in our case, Ruvain and Shimon are brothers on their father's side, so the mitzvah of Yibum would apply, in general at least. But Ruvain also has a sister on his mother's side, and Shimon marries Ruvain's sister. Now, if it would be Ruvain's sister from the father's side, then it would be forbidden for Shimon to marry her. We'll discuss that case later on in the Perek. But in this case, it was permitted for Shimon to marry her. But when Shimon dies, it will be forbidden for Ruvain to do Yibum with her, as she is an Erva of Ruvain. Next case, for Achis Imoy. If Shimon married Ruvain's mother's sister, Ruvain's aunt, all the diagrams which include sisters, the sisters are known as Rachel and Leah. Now, if Ruvain and Shimon were full brothers, then it would be forbidden for even Shimon to marry Ruvain's aunt, because it's also Shimon's aunt. And therefore, we're talking about a case where Shimon and Ruvain are only brothers on their father's side. So there is going to be an obligation of Yibum in a general case. However, Ruvain's mother is not Shimon's mother, which means that in our case, Ruvain's mother is Rochel, her sister is Leah, and Leah is Ruvain's aunt, but not Shimon's aunt. So Shimon's wife is Ruvain's erva. Next case, Achis Ishtoi. If Shimon marries Ruvain's sister-in-law, so this is a case where two brothers married two sisters, Ruvain and Shimon married Rochel and Leah. This is going to be a very common case throughout the Masechta, where two brothers married two sisters. Alright, next case, V'eshes Ochiv Me'imai. This is a slightly more complicated case, where Shimon's wife is not only Ruvain's brother's wife through Shimon, but it's also Ruvain's brother's wife through another brother. But the other brother is only his brother via the mother's side. As the diagram shows, Ruvain and Levi are brothers on the mother's side, and then Levi dies. Now, since they are only brothers on the mother's side, there is no obligation of Yibum, which means that the regular prohibition and erva of one's brother's wife applies. So Levi's wife Dina is already an erva of Ruvain, because it's Ruvain's brother's wife without any obligation of Yibum. And what happens next is that Ruvain's brother on his father's side, Shimon, he marries Dina. And Shimon's allowed to do that, he's not related to Dina at all. It's not Shimon's brother's wife, it's only Ruvain's brother's wife. So Shimon marries her, and then Shimon dies. So Dina is an erva to Ruvain, and interestingly over here, the only erva is Eshes Ach, the brother's wife. And in general, that erva, if there's no other erva involved, it's permitted. The mitzvah of Yibum overrides the general prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife. However, since in our case, Dina is Ruvain's brother's wife from a different brother on the mother's side, so that prohibition still stands, and that is a full erva, which the mitzvah of Yibum cannot permit, because it's his brother's wife on the mother's side. Alright, second last case, another quite complicated one. V'eshes ochiv shlehoya ba'ilomai. If Shimon's wife, before being Shimon's wife, was married to Shimon's brother, And Shimon's brother died before Reuven was born. So Reuven in this case is actually the youngest. And if you look at the diagram shows that there are two brothers at the beginning, Shimon and Levi. And Levi is married to a woman, Dinah, who's not related to anybody. Levi marries Dinah, and then Levi dies. And at the time that Levi dies, the only brother who is here is Shimon. After Levi dies, then Reuven is born. Now it is learned from Pesukim that Reuven is not able to perform Yibum on Levi's wife, Dinah. Since he was not alive at the time of the death, the obligation of Yibum, as we explained earlier, is based on the time of death. It has to be that there's no children at the time of death. And it has to be that the brother, the Yovam, is alive at the time that the man died. So since Reuven was not alive, he is not able to perform the mitzvah of Yibum on Dinah. Which means, since the mitzvah of Yibum does not apply, so the prohibition, the regular prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife does apply. So Dinah is considered to be an erevah towards Reuven. Which means that let's say Shimon, who was alive at the time that Levi died, Shimon performs Yibum on Dinah, and then Shimon dies, it will be forbidden for Reuven to do Yibum on Dinah, since she is an erevah towards Reuven. She's an erevah from the first time there was an opportunity of Yibum. And as a rule, Hova Nesra Olo Shah Achas, once she becomes forbidden as an erevah towards Reuven once, Nesra Olo Vailomis, she remains forbidden forever, and she is always considered to be an erevah, and therefore Reuven would not be able to perform Yibum with Dinah or her tzareis. And again, let's say there will be another brother who was alive at the time that Levi died, but he didn't do Yibum, Shimon did Yibum. When Shimon dies, that other brother would be able to do Yibum on Dinah or Chana. And then if he dies again, his tzara, who is the tzara of the tzara of the Erva, she would also be exempt, again as we explained earlier. The same would apply for this diagram, for this example, just like every example. Alright, and the final case, the 15th diagram, the Chalosai, if Shimon marries Reuven's daughter-in-law, so that's an Erva for Reuven, the diagram shows what exactly the case is, where Reuven's son Moshe married Dinah, and then Moshe died, so Shimon married Dinah. So when Shimon dies, Reuven cannot do Yibum on Dinah, since she is related to him via being his daughter-in-law. Even though Reuven's son has now died, she still remains forbidden as an erva on Reuven. So the Mishnah says, all of these 15 examples, Hari Elu Potzus Tzoreseyen V'Tzores Tzoreseyen, each of these Arayas, as well as being exempt themselves, they also exempt their Tzoreis, and if another brother marries their Tzoreis, and then dies, so the Tzoreis and the Tzoreis of the erva would also be exempt from a Chalitza and a Yibum at Seifa Olam, from both Chalitza and Yibum, until the end of the world, meaning however many brothers there are. Now, so far we've seen two ramifications of the fact that the obligation of Yibum is dependent at the time of death. Firstly, it has to be that he has no children at the time of death. And secondly, it has to be that the Yovam was alive at the time of death. We're now going to see another ramification, and that is that the Erva exempts the Tzara only if the Erva was still married to the dead man, to Shimon, at the time of death. And because of that, the Chulon, all of these Arayas in Mesu, if the Erva died before Shimon died, Oimeanu, they went through a process known as Miun, which is when a child under the age of Bas Mitzvah, the halacha is that if her father is still alive, then he can marry her off, and that marriage is considered to be valid Mid'oraisa. However, if the father had died already, then she can get married, but it's only valid Mid'rabbanon. And because that marriage is only Mid'rabbanon, at least until she becomes Bas Mitzvah, at that point, it becomes a valid marriage with Araisa, but as long as she is considered a child still, so she is able to refuse to continue with the marriage, very similar to a divorce, just that by Mion, we consider it as if they were never married at all. She dissolves the entire marriage, as long as she does it before Bas Mitzvah. So again, if Reuven's Erva did Mion on Shimon before Shimon died, at the time of Shimon's death, Reuven's Erva was not married at all to Shimon, Onis Garshu, or if it's a regular marriage and Shimon divorced Reuven's Erva before dying, Oishinimtsu Ailonis, or if Reuven's Erva was found to be an Ailonis is a woman who cannot have children. Now, since the whole point of Yibum, the Torah says, is so that you'll be able to have children from this woman, and the children will be considered in some way the children of the dead man, so of course the entire parasha of Yibum is totally irrelevant to the Ailonis. And because of that, if Reuven's erva is an ilanis, then it's true that she can't do yibum with Reuven, but she would never be able to do yibum with anyone. So it wouldn't make sense to say that she now exempts her co-wives, because that only applies to a woman, which when the Torah spoke about the mitzvah of yibum, it spoke about this woman as well. So then within the framework of yibum, she can affect things, she can exempt other people. But in this case, the reason why she is exempt from yibum is not because she is Reuven's erva. It's for a totally different reason. And therefore, the law which says an erva exempts the tzaris as well, that only applies if the reason why she is exempt is because she's an erva. But since over here she's exempt anyway, even without being an erva, so she does not exempt her tzaris. So in all of these cases, tzaraseim utarais, their tzaris would be permitted to do yibum with Reuven. Now the Mishnah notes that with a couple of the examples we gave, v'yata yochel loymar, you're not able to say b'chamoisai regarding the erva being Reuven's mother-in-law of ein chamoisai, Reuven's mother-in-law's mother of ein chomiv, Reuven's father-in-law's mother. Those were three of the examples of which the Mishnah gave. Regarding them, it doesn't make sense to say shenimtzu ilanis, that they were found to be an ilanis, ishemeanu, or they did mion, for the simple reason that an ilanis can't have children. And by definition, somebody who is a mother-in-law, by definition, she had children, so clearly she's not an ilanis. And it also wouldn't make sense to say that she did mion, because one is only able to do mion before bas mitzvah, before she's an adult. And she's not able to have children before she is an adult. And therefore the Mishnah just tells us a technical point that being an ilanis and doing mion is not relevant to those three examples.